Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Hear the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. And the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy. But he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold." The Gospel of the Lord. There are always two ways to respond to the Word of God. The first is as a disciple called to holiness. The second, as an apostle summoned to ardor. Helpful with regard to any passage in sacred scripture. How is it supposed to influence my own relationship with the Lord? And how is it meant to transform me so that I can help be the Lord's instrument to transform others' relationships with Him? Today's gospel is the single easiest way to do this because it is so clear, those two applications. And in the middle of the summer, as it's hot and humid, as you're fatigued, as some of us are even sick, it's a good opportunity for us to take a soil sample to see really how we're doing with receptivity to what the Lord is doing in our life, and also to examine some of the reasons why our apostolate may not be as effective as our hopes are, because this word has a This is a great consolation for us in those circumstances too. Jesus encourages us to see what type of receptivity we have to his work. And he gives four different responses. First is that stubborn, hardened soil trampled on the way. As you probably know, in the ancient Holy Land, they farmed differently than the way we do today. They'd farm in long strips of land, and sowers would go first and just cast seed in every direction. And then in the soil in which there was supposed to be growth, you would then go and turn over the seeds in that soil. We do it differently. We turn over the soil and then we plant the seeds. And so some would fall on the pathways in between these long strips of farmland. They couldn't penetrate. And then the birds of the air would come and eat the seed. Jesus describes that as the type of stubborn receptivity we have to him. And in my pastoral experience, there are two types of really stubborn soil. The first type is the inveterate sinner, somebody who's so attached to sin that God, even in an earthquake, can't penetrate. But the second type, and it's a great danger, is a daily mass goer. And it can happen for lay people who have heard the word of God so many times that they don't even pay attention. It can also happen among religious and priests, where we think we know it all already. There's no real way for God to change our life forever as we're hearing the word. There are many circumstances in which somebody doesn't want a homily, or a priest doesn't want to give a homily. And in these circumstances, we're dealing a lot with hardened soil. The Word of God no longer has the power to bear incredible fruit because we don't allow it. We're closed to it. Second type of receptivity, Jesus says, is rocky soil. In the Holy Land, there was a thick layer of limestone 3 to 5 inches underneath the surface. And when a seed would hit there, the water would be trapped in those 3 to 5 inches. The sunshine would be there. The seed would take root very, very quickly and spring up. But the roots couldn't go deep, and eventually the water would be evaporated and would wither because its roots were shallow. Jesus uses it as an image for those who are superficial, those who immediately respond to joy, those who are looking, for example, in our age, for pleasure, those who, for example, when the Word of God is proclaimed, are looking to be entertained. They're not looking for a revolution in their life. They're looking for something that tickles their ears, that makes them laugh, that maybe gives them a pat on the back for a moment, but not a kick in the pants for a lifetime. There are many today in this entertainment age who have this soil. They will respond with joy initially, but when worldly cares and anxieties come up, when persecution arises, when it becomes difficult, the roots aren't there to sustain continued growth. Third is this thorny soil. Otherwise good, but something else is growing at the same time. And Jesus defines the thorns. It easily could have been defined as sins, which would choke the growth of God's work within us. But he says worldly anxiety and the lure of riches. So in other words, fears and pleasures choke the growth of the Word. We always need to call to mind those fears as well as those draws toward pleasure that we have whenever we come to Mass, whenever we pray, because it will choke the growth of the seed. If one of our loved ones is preparing for death, it's going to be hard for us to focus on what the Lord is saying. But likewise, if our stomach is churning and we know that we've got a good breakfast coming or anything else like this, some other thing that we're excited about today, that can likewise distract us from what the Lord Himself wants to give. And so we need to be aware of those and bring all of those to the Lord and leave them with Him so that the divine gardener can do his work. The fourth type of soil, the one Jesus wants to give us, the one that the Holy Spirit wants to help, is this rich soil, which he says is one who hears and understands and bears fruit. And not just a little fruit, but abundant fruit. Big biblical numbers, 30, 60, 100 fold. Every time we listen to the Word of God, every time we meditate upon sacred scripture, it should change our life 30, 60, or 100 ways. But that requires work on our part. We've got to constantly recall it over the course of the day. We've got to go back and say, what was today's psalm? What was today's gospel? What was this past Sunday's gospel? What was this past Sunday's epistle? So the Word of God can continue to bear fruit as we live with that Word over the course of the day. Rich soil. God wants it to be utterly fruitful. What I'd like to do today is to talk about one of the biggest seeds of all. Sometimes when we look at this, we think about this particular passage of sacred scripture as a seed. But the biggest seed of all is God's presence. And how receptive are we to the fact that God gives himself to us live all the time? And he gives himself to us substantially through the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. How receptive are we to that? Are we so routinized in the way we go about life, even the way that we celebrate Mass, that the fact that Jesus comes and abides in us no longer fills us with awe? That we say a quick thanksgiving and then we go out overwhelmed by worldly cares and anxieties? Do we really allow that presence of the Lord to get deep within us, really deep roots, ineradicable roots, jackhammering through that rock underneath the surface? from within, taking away those worldly cares and anxieties that we have, transforming them more and more as we entrust them to Him, and allowing His presence to influence all our actions, 30 actions, 60 actions, 100 actions, 1,000 actions every day, when we're aware of the vibrant presence of the Lord within, it will change all our action. And it's that way, when we remain attached as branches to the vine, that we will bear abundant fruit, as the Lord promises. That's what the prophet Jeremiah is ultimately talking about in today's passage from his letter, which we'll have for 2.5 weeks. He basically says that he will appoint shepherds after his own sacred heart, who will shepherd us wisely and prudently. There'll be a vivid recollection of his own accompaniment. They will multiply and become fruitful in the land, which doesn't just talk about human generation. It talks about cooperation with the Lord received on good soil. And it says something that at first might seem really weird if we're paying attention. They will in those days no longer say the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. They will no longer think of it or remember it or miss it or make another. It almost seems like a contradiction. The Ark was a sign of God's presence. The Ark contained within some of the greatest miracles that the Lord did. It was with the presence of the Ark that they were able to conquer the Philistines. David danced before it. It was what the temple was built around. They'll no longer say the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Why? When they return, the Ark wouldn't be there anymore. They don't know where it is. But not principally that, because they would be conscious that the Lord Himself was there, and they didn't need the sign, because the signified would be present and they would be utterly conscious of His presence. That's what Jeremiah was giving as a word of consolation to the people as they were preparing to go in exile. The Lord wants us likewise to have such a vivid awareness of His presence that all of the icons, all of the statues, all of the various gifts that we have to remind us of His presence will no longer be so needed, because we won't need reminders, because He will be so present. Last application shortly is for our apostolate. Sometimes we can get discouraged. We can be like Peter and the apostles in the boat, fishing all night but catching nothing. That all our efforts with family members, with friends, with residents, with UN delegates can seem fruitless. We can think maybe it's because we're a failure. We're not doing our job. We're not praying enough, etc. No, today in this parable, Jesus gives us an incredible consolation. That the seed itself is perfect when we're passing Jesus on. The sower may do his job perfectly, but there's that mystery of the free response. Sometimes people do respond with hardened soil, other times with rocky, other times with thorny. It's going to happen. We shouldn't be surprised when it happens. It ain't our fault. We can work to turn over the soil. We can work to identify the stone and plant differently. We can point out the thorns. But at the end of the day, there's a free response of others. But what we will also find are people with extraordinary soil who bear thousandfold or 500,000-fold fruit from the littlest of seeds that we plant. We should always be aware, not just that there are people with these first three soil samples. And so at times, even when we do things as well as they could possibly be done, there won't be much fruit, it seems. But let's not focus so much on that. There are others with such good soil that even a simple Christian deed can be something that can really transform their life. Because sometimes people have that type of soil. Today, as we prepare to receive the Lord and His real presence within us, we ask for a soil like Our Lady.